Blog Talk Radio.
We
praise your name. We glorify you. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
No other name under heaven whereby men shall be saved other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless your name today, Lord. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, you've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we thank you for the new mercies that you've shown us even on today. Not just your mercy, but your grace. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for your love and kindness and your tender mercy. Oh, we bless your name today, oh, God. Hallelujah, Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for every person on the call tonight, Bible study, oh God. We thank you, oh God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your word says that, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God. In your word, and Psalms 119, verse 105 says, hallelujah, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, oh God. Hallelujah. And you heard us say that life is an open book test, and we just thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, for allowing us to even learn more of thee every day, every way. Lord, we bless your name today, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for the families that are represented today, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for healing it. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, for your prosperity in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your word says in hallelujah, 3 John 1:2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, for allowing our souls to prosper even on tonight. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So Father God, as we go through Bible study tonight, Lord, just be with us, oh God. Show us. Open up your word, oh God. Let it flow. Let it holler and let your word glow in our hearts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I thank God for all of you that are on the call tonight. I thank God for you because you see the need for Bible study. And you focus in on being on Bible study and Bible study. So many of us want God to do this and do that, but we won't even do the small thing. And then we give him an alibi. I don't remember one time God giving me an alibi why he couldn't do something for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know about y'all. Now, if God gave you an alibi why he couldn't do something for you, you let me know, because I don't recall that in my life. So I thank God for the opportunity to be on the call tonight. And we pray for everyone that's not here, that's usually here. We ask God to bless them, anoint them, to energize them, to fill them with the desire to seek his face. The word of the Lord says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, I believe that's what it is. If my people who are called by my name would but humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. That means their family, their circumstances, their situation, the conditions, their homes, their community. Glory to God. We need a whole lot more people who are called by his name to pray and fast and seek his face so that the crime and the shootings and all the things that are happening will be diminished. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers. Hallelujah. We need a whole bunch of blood-washed, Holy Ghost-filled, tongue-talking, fire baptized demon destroyers to join together. But we thank you so much for y'all being on Bible study. And one of the things that I wanted to share with you, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be perfectly honest and frank with you. And no, my name is not Frank, but I'm going to be frank with you. When I was young, I think every now and then I heard somebody talk about the Roman road, but nobody could tell me the Roman road, what that was. Oh, nobody took the time to tell me what it was. I waited for 50 or so years before I could get to the point where I knew what it was and its purpose. Because, see, first of all, our job as Christians, in fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, if somebody can get that, and when you get it, say amen, hallelujah.
What was that scripture say?
2 Corinthians chapter 5.
2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18.
I'm going to share with you, number one, the purpose of the Roman road. And
amen.
Okay, go ahead and read that.
2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Okay. Now, stop right there. The way we used to think, the way we used to tackle stuff, we have a new way of operating now, a modus operandi. We have a new new M.O. Go ahead, read 18.
18 says, and all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
After we become a new creature, God's given us a job to reconcile, to bring people back into relationship with God. That's our major job. And some folks don't know that. Some folks think that our major job is going to church. Going to church is a good thing to do because we learn by doing that. But our major job is to duplicate ourselves. To duplicate ourselves. To bring somebody else into a better relationship with God. A relationship with God. We are ministers of reconciliation. And read verse 20. Go down, jump down to verse 20.
Verse 20 says, now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God.
We are ambassadors. We are the ones. You say, well, I'm going to let the preacher do it. I'm going to let the teacher do it. I'm going to let the baker do it or the candlestick maker. We are ambassadors, every last one of us. And I know a lot of us say, well, how do we do this? Now, you know, normally when we have service, this is not service per se, but usually we have housekeeping suggestions. But when you go to class, I don't have to tell you to bring your book. I have to tell you to bring your notebook or your Bible, you know, because you're going to have it with you because you're going to class. Is that right?
Yes.
All right.
Right.
So I need you to turn to the book of Romans. This is the Roman road. You can put in your Bible, or in your notes, excuse me, the Roman road. And if you got a highlighter, we're gonna deal with the Roman road tonight. And you can highlight those scriptures in the Bible. Now, let me just share this. When you talk to somebody about coming to church, about giving their lives over to God, what are some of the excuses they give you?
I got to work.
Oh, I don't, something came up, I got something to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or then this right here. Oh, no,
because I don't go to church because it's hypocrites. Well, it's hypocrites at your job and you still go, right?
or say, I don't deal with church.
Yes.
You understand what's happening? See, now what the Roman road does, it addresses a lot of those excuses. One of the things that I've heard people say is that, oh, I'm okay. I don't rob banks. I don't kill people. I don't do that. I'm all right. Romans chapter 3. Somebody get that real quick. When you get there, say amen. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Amen. Go ahead and read that.
As it is written, there is none righteousness, no, not one.
There's none righteous, no, not one. Somebody says, well, I'm a good person. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And they're going to keep on, and so you're going to have to kind of underscore something. Somebody else go to Romans. This is Romans. Highlight that in your Bible, okay, if you got a highlighter or underliner, whatever you want. Then someone go to Romans 3:23, same chapter. But 20,
okay,
verse,
amen.
Go ahead and read.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Do you hear that? All have sinned. You say, well, I'm all right. I don't do all. What does all mean, y'all?
Everybody. All things.
Okay, so you put that. You highlight that or underline that. Okay. Then we go to chapter 5. We're still in Romans now, y'all. We haven't gotten out of Romans. Chapter 5, verse 8. When you get there, say amen, somebody.
Amen.
Go ahead, read.
So just real quick, I'm driving, so if someone can text me the scriptures, because I don't want to miss this.
Okay. We'll text you the scriptures. Yes, we will. We'll text you the scriptures. No, praise God. Bless you, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cover you now as you drive. Okay. Now somebody said they got it. Chapter 5, verse 8. Go ahead and read.
But God commanded his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
While we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. God commanded this thing. He commanded it. He said, Christ, you know, I'm looking for somebody who could, they've been killing sheep and all that, poor sheep, you know, they've been giving their lives so the folk can be forgiven. But I want one lamb to do it once and for all. And he commended Christ. Christ did.
That's the difference between the Old and the New Testament.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Go ahead now.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Christ died. While we were said, well, look here, I got to get, you heard it, so I got to get myself together before I go to church. I got to get myself together, what they're really saying, I got to sow my wild oats before I go. Tomorrow's not promised till, and people need to know that. You may not have time. You better get it right today. Today, yeah. Grandma said, today, boy, you must get it right today, boy, girl, whatever. God, that highlight that. That's because you hear this stuff. You know, I'm gonna tell you. I mentioned this before that somebody called themselves a witness to me. I'm standing on a bus stop on the corner of Baltimore and Monroe, waiting for the 20 to come by. That's in the day. I don't know if they got any 20s now. But in the day, it was a 20 bus going down there. I went, and somebody comes up to me, and they call themselves witnessing. You know what they asked me? They said, what name do you baptize in? I didn't care who Scott. We had no conversation. I'm standing on the corner by myself, and Lady walks up to me, and we named you back. Like, that was the criteria for being saved. We're saved by grace. But anyway, let me stop. Okay. So we got that five. And why is it important for us to tell them? You got to do it today. Go to chapter 6, verse 23.
623.
When you get there, say amen. And this is important. Like I said, I'm sharing this with y'all now, so y'all don't have to wait 50 years for somebody to reveal this to you. I wish I had a long time ago. I wish I knew that my first job, of loving God and doing what he said, is to duplicate myself. That's the job.
Amen.
You accepted Christ? Okay, your next job after that, it was verse 17 says we're a new creature. Verse 18 says we're a minister of reconciliation. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. And then 5:18 says, now duplicate yourself. Get other folk to get a relationship with God.
Amen.
Took me 50 years to realize this, because nobody would tell me. Everybody would talk the talk, but they really didn't know themselves. That's why they didn't tell me.
Right.
Okay. Chapter 6, verse 23, what does it say?
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
See, that's the bottom line, y'all. People say, look here. You know, they give you all these excuses. Say, look here, I'm going to tell you right now, the wages, the pay, the consequence of sin is death. But the gift of God, shakalala, means you don't have to pay for it. You don't have to work for it. You just, the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus.
Okay.
You say, well, you know, I I'm a Buddhist, and I'm be saved through. No, you can't. It's said through Christ.
Amen.
I'm a Muslim, Jesus. I'm a Hindu, Jesus. I'm a Confucius guy, Jesus. I'm a Taoist, Jesus. I'm whatever all this other kind of crazy stuff out here, Jesus.
Amen.
And then where the rubber meets the road, go to chapter 10. And by the way, you'll highlight that or underline that in your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 10, verse 9 and 10.
Amen.
Go ahead and read.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Well, you just jump down at the 13. Same book, 10:13, same chapter.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
This is where the rubber meets the road. That's what you want. You want them to, you say, you know, I believe. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's the Roman road, y'all.
Uh-huh.
That's the Roman road. Again, Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, Romans 5:8, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 6:23, Romans 10:9 and 10, and Romans 10:13. That's the Roman road. Of course, you can put some other scriptures in there, you know, however you want, but you can witness to somebody and take them from point zero to glory, to the angels shouting in heaven, because they, you know, somebody else gave their hearts over to the Lord. The Roman road. The Roman. So if I ever ask you in church, what's the Roman road? You can blurt out, oh, the Roman road. Oh, you know, of course, get their attention. You know, Roman Road. Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 6:23, Romans 10:9-10, and Romans 10:13.
Yep.
The way to get to, talking about the way to get to glory, the way to get to the heart of God, realize that he is the answer. Hallelujah. They used to sing a song, Christ is the answer. He's the only real answer.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So any questions about the Roman road, how to witness to somebody? You know, because what happens, God will provide you an opportunity. And there is an atmosphere that you have to present in order to do what I just did, deal with the Roman road. You know what the atmosphere is? Or mindset?
What?
It's found in Galatians 5:22-23. The gifts of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Show that. Love. You got to go to them in love. Joy, you got to be happy. You go to somebody and you look like you've been sucking on glory to God, on onion pickles for a day and a half, and then you switch over to some of them other pickles, a kosher dill pickles, and you do it weekly. Do you want what I have? No, what you got might be deadly. I don't know. The way you look and the way you sound. You understand what I'm saying, y'all?
Yes.
You understand the words coming out of my mouth? If you
Galatians 5 and what?
22 and 23.
Oh, the fruit of the Spirit.
The fruit of the Spirit. I said gifts of the Spirit. I meant the fruit of the Spirit. Y'all know what? Y'all know I use that scripture so often. It's just part of my it's under my fingernails. It's everywhere. I think, you know, whatever. I'm gonna tell you, y'all. Shout out to your You show love.
That's what I've heard some people say is, well, they'll argue that the Bible was written by, written by man. But what came to me was the scripture that you one of the ones that you had recently told us through Second Timothy. I don't know, was that the 3:16?
I know what you're talking about. See, God used holy men of old as a pencil or an ink pen or a quill. And God gave his word. You say, well, God inspired those men to write. Now, God used them as a pencil.
Mm-hmm.
And said, you got a pen and you write the paper or you write a book. Well, what are you going to put down as the author of that book? You're going to say pencil wrote the book? You're going to say
no.
Your ink pen wrote the book? No, the one behind the pencil. The one behind the ink pen. The one behind the keyboard that was clicking on the keyboard. The keyboard is not the author of the book that I'm writing now. I got two novels that have been out there. I didn't put not one time that my computer wrote the book. Although my computer helped to put what was in my heart on paper, it didn't write it.
Right.
God moved. He took prophets, and he took them in his hand, and he wrote the word. So when people try to tell you, oh, men wrote the Bible, I said, no, they didn't. They were just the pencil. You can even use that analogy. They were just the pencil that God used. They were just the ink pen that God used. They were just the keyboard, the computer that God used.
Amen.
See, because everybody, they want to come up with excuses. Then you have some folks say, well, look, we all saved in the same God. No, we're not. The Hindus got three or 4,000 gods. We definitely ain't serving the same God there. Muslims call Allah. Their God is not our God. Our God is Almighty God in Jesus' name, one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's not the same God when they say Jesus was not God. Jesus is not part of the Godhead. You know the Jehovah's Witnesses ain't serving our God. Hallelujah. Because they minimize. They minimize Christ. Christ is not God made flesh. We pray for them. Because they're almost there. The form of godliness, but they're denying the power of God to come down in human flesh and dwell among us and show us the way. The only way that we can make it is through Jesus Christ. The word of God, if you come any other way, you're a thief and a robber.
And a robber.
That's what the word said. I didn't write it. Came too late to change it. Hallelujah. A lot of folks have tried to change it. In fact, hallelujah, there are probably over 400 different versions of the Bible in today's world. And I shared with you, and I shared this before, the King James Version is the only authorized version of the Bible. The only one that doesn't have to worry about a copyright. You can do the King James Version like 15,000 copies. Sell them a dollar a piece. It don't matter. There's no copyright. Every other version that's out here today got a copyright. That's why they had to change some of the scriptures and drop some, add some, because it can't be the same as somebody else's, because then they call that copyright infringement. But see, the King James Version Bible, the only Bible in existence today whose every page is soaked in blood of martyrs. Nobody else. They can't say that about the NIV, the Message Bible, the Amplified Bible, the New King James Version Bible. They can't even say it about that. The King James Version Bible.
Hallelujah.
In the blood of martyrs. People died. And I've said this several times, and it just hits me. Sometimes, you know, I think about it, it just brings tears to my eyes. A bunch of people were burnt at the stake. Do you know what their crime was?
No, what?
Teaching their children the 23rd Psalms in English. And they were burnt at the stake. See, we cannot minimize what God has done in a miraculous way. It's a miracle. Because, see, the enemy tried to waylay the King James Version Bible. When they first printed it in 1611, a printer rushed the production because the printing press was kind of new, less than 100 years old. And it was new, and he was rushing it, and there was a whole bunch of mistakes in that first Bible, but it was the King James Version Bible. They corrected it, had to reprint stuff, because there were typos and all kinds of stuff that were really crazy, but they got it right. And then what happened later on? They applied, in fact, before they said God set up the King James Version to be the Bible for the world, Because 75 to 90% of the world today has English as their first, second, or third language. So it was incumbent upon God to make sure that the Bible, his holy word, was translated into English. And I'm going to tell you, Karina, prior to about 50 years before the King James Version Bible, the Geneva Bible first started using the verses and chapters, because Geneva, Switzerland. And Bibles that came after that said, that's pretty cool, because then we can kind of nail, you know, nail the address down. Because if I tell you, look here, go to New York City, if New York was a book in the Bible, go to New York and find James. James Jones, where he lived, it would take a while to find that. That's why when Jesus walked into the temple, hallelujah, first day of the week, I'm gonna tell you something. That was like a miracle. He picked up Isaiah. It was really Isaiah 61, verses 1, 2, and 3. But he picked it up, and he went right to that book. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the broken heart. And he went down the whole litany. Then he closed up Isaiah. He went over and sat down. And people were still looking at him, because that was just awesome. And he said, this day, this prophecy was fulfilled in your ears. Hallelujah.
Power on.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I want you to know this, that when we talk about the Bible, the first one we talk about is the King James Version Bible. If we want to check with some other versions, we will mention them, the Amplified or the Message Bible or the NIV. Praise God. Pastor Peaches, do you have any comments? Or anybody got any comments on what we discussed so far?
No, but it's good to know the Roman road. So when we witnessing to somebody and they come at us, you know, with those sayings or this, we already have them, even if we don't have them down by, you know, down pat by heart, we can have them, you know, written or have them already highlighted in our Bible.
Amen.
I have a question, Sister Ann.
Yes.
I want to make sure I got the Roman road right. Okay, Roman road. Chapter 3, verse 10 and 23.
Yes.
Romans chapter 5, verse 8.
Yes.
Romans chapter 6, verse 23.
Yes.
And Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 13.
Absolutely. 100%. You glow, girl.
Thank you.
That's good. And I'm going to tell you, y'all get that? God going to bless you when you got that.
Oh, yeah.
And see, you are an ambassador. Ambassadors are part of the hierarchy of a kingdom or of a country. You are a hierarchy of the kingdom of God on this earth. You're not an also-ran. You're not an afterthought. You are an ambassador. You got credentials. Your credentials are written in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you accepted him, you became a new creature. Yes, you may not have changed your name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you got a new name written in heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I'm going to tell you something. You got a new walk, a new talk, a new perspective. You somebody special. You got to understand it. understand that, receive that, and believe that. In fact, believe it, and then you're going to receive it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Another question. Any questions concerning the Roman road?
Mm-mm.
And, okay, how, see, you need to, I put it this way. I share this with you. In the beginning of the day, you may want to ask God, you know, lead me to at least one person today that I can lead to you. Do you know if you did one person a day, how many would you have in a week? Anybody?
If you blessed
one person a day for a week, how many people would you have blessed to the Lord?
One person a day.
Seven. What about a year?
365.
You understand what I'm saying? Well, you say, well, look here. I don't know if I'm that prolific. Okay. What about one person a week? If you did one person a week, how many would you do in a year?
52.
There you go. Mm-hmm. You bring 52 people to Christ. Glory to God. You know, the angels up there doing somersaults. My goodness. We're talking about praise dancers. There'd be praise dancers up in heaven.
And that would be only what we see because, Pastor, when they go back home to their families or friends and their family and friends sees a difference or sees the difference that Christ made in their life, then they're going to be multiplied. You know, the numbers is going to grow even bigger. So we'll never know.
You know what that is? That's called seed planting. You planting seed. When you bring somebody to the Lord, you're planting some seed. I remember years ago, when I say years ago, I'm talking about years, when I first went to Morgan, I met this boyfriend and girlfriend, and I invited them to Dallasville Cathedral. And they came one day. And I haven't seen them since. I think I've seen them one time. Because one of my cousins, Dolores, told me that her pastor that took over for her initial pastor who passed away, her pastor keeps talking about Earl Byrd. Mm-hmm. And I said, there's probably another Earl Byrd because there's a bunch of us out here. We could probably have a convention and fill up the convention center because all the Earl Byrds all over the place. But anyway, I went over to the church one day. It's a large church on Edmonton Avenue. And sure enough, it was this couple. They had gotten married. And they told us,
Mr. Pearson,
they told me that I was the one that first introduced them to the Lord because I invited them.
Praise
to
God.
You inviting somebody to church may change their life forever. They pastors, and they no doubt have led a whole bunch of folks to the Lord. And when I say a big church, I don't mean a 100 people church or 200. I'm talking about 500,000, maybe 2,000 or 5. You know, big church on Edmonton Avenue. Mm. They lead that church.
We just never know.
And you never know, Pastor. That was a good point. So the seed you sow is the crop you grow. You never know how many people will be touched because you decided to share God's love to somebody. And it's an act of love. When you are a minister of reconciliation and you're trying to get them in a relationship with God, back in a relationship with God, that's an act of love. When you take the time to share with somebody, that's an act of love. And you go to them not, like I said, like you're sucking on a dill pickle, a sour pickle, but you go with joy and peace and patience and all that kind of good stuff, the fruit of the Spirit. You'll be surprised. Because if they don't come around then, you have planted a seed in them. And in the middle of the night, they may have a dream that says them crying out to the Lord. And they'll wake up and say, oh, my goodness, I know God is real, Lord. And they get down on their knees and, Lord, forgive me for my – and they'll come to the Lord. And you may not never see that. But that happened. I remember one person that they came to the Lord. The baptism of the Holy Ghost in the shower. Lord have mercy. The bottom of the Lord can work wherever he want to work. He's sovereign. He's the one that connects the dots. We make sure we put the dots on the page. God connects the dots.
Yes, I have a question, Pastor.
Yes.
After you win someone to the Lord, does it stop there?
Good question. Excellent question. You got to point them. You give them a glass of water, and you're walking away. They got water for them, but you got to tell them where they can find some water again. Because if I gave you a glass of water today, and then 7 days later, that was the only glass of water you had all week long, you're in trouble. Is that right?
Yes.
So you need to point them in a direction. That's why, in other words, come to church with me. Or if they're in a certain area and you know a Holy Ghost real tongue-talking, fire-baptized, demon-destroying, Bible-living church in that area, point them there so they can get fed again, so they can get water again. You understand what I'm saying? It's not enough.
Yes.
Pastor Peters, that was a tremendous word there. You don't just leave them there.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And you go pat yourself on the back. Oh, I got one. Oh, I slammed one today. No. Lead them, tell them where your church is. Give them a track with the address and telephone number. Or send them to a church, and if you can't find them, come to your church. Hallelujah. That's why it's so important, look, the first Sunday of every month, we have Friends and Family Day.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to talk to your friends and your family and your neighbors and co-workers, even folks that you consider your enemies. Say, look here, would you come to church with me? And first they're going to look at you. Is she crazy? Or is he crazy? I mean, I consider him or her my enemy, and they're inviting me to church? Yes, because they need the Holy Ghost. They need to get saved, too. Is that right?
Yes. Amen.
Your enemies need to be saved. Your co-workers need to be saved. Your neighbors need to be saved. Your family need to be saved.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Somebody, look here. You got somebody that done cut their hand. And you want them to go to the hospital because they won't stop bleeding. And they say, oh, that's all right. You've got to somehow get them to go to the hospital because they're in trouble. It could get infected or they could bleed to death. So you want to get them to the hospital. It's the same thing. If folks don't get away from their sins, because they'll die in their sins if they don't, you've got to show them the way to the spiritual hospital. Where's the spiritual hospital? The church. The group of baptized believers. Baptized in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Praise God. Any other comments? Come on. Comments? Anything? Comments about the Roman road? Hallelujah. Questions? Hallelujah. Thank you.
It'd be good to learn these by heart.
It would be good.
I do have a question.
Yes.
I like the Roman Road. I just love the Roman Road. I think I'll be reading that a lot often.
Amen. But that is so good. You get that in your spirit, you'll be a demon destroyer. You'll be a Holy Ghost filled dynamo for Christ. You're definitely an ambassador.
Yes.
You're a minister of reconciliation. And you'll be surprised that folk will listen to you when you tell them about good news. That's why very soon, we're going to be starting a good news youth club. We're going to have young people in our church. Why? Because that's how the church continues to grow. When you have young people, because they grow older than they have children, and their children have children. That's how a church grows and maintains. But we're going to have a good news youth club. But the idea is good news. You got good news. We ain't talking about who did this, that, the other, and who shot who and all that kind of stuff. Excuse me. We want to talk about good news, how Jesus came. Hallelujah. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. And people say, okay, I just got to get myself together. So he died for you in your present circumstance. He died for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you were the only person left in the world, Jesus would still come and died for you. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just got to know this and have to have this as part of our DNA. It needs to come out of our ears and all that kind of stuff. The stuff, the Roman road and how to accept Christ. The benefits of accepting Christ. The benefits of accepting Christ. You can go back to Galatians 5:22-23. You're going to have the fruit of the Spirit. You're going to have love in your life. You're going to have joy in your life. You're going to have peace in your life. And long-suffering means patience. You got patience. How you got goodness and gentleness. That's faith. That's grace and mercy. Hallelujah. And faith, you're going to be able to not just to have faith in God. You're going to have the faith of God. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. And faith, glory to God. Glory to God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you're going to have faith, and then you're going to have meekness. And meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power under control. Meekness is authority under control. Meekness is hallelujah, glory to God, is controlling your strength. And then temperance is that you've got your emotions under control. You don't fly off the handle. You don't blow off your stack. You don't act like no train going down the road. Toot, toot. You ain't one of them. You're not no stack at a power plant. And it's spewing steam in the air. That's your emotions under control. Meekness is your strength, power, authority under control. Both of those are control factors. So you got that going on in your life. My goodness. The blessings of knowing Christ. Then there are two things, and I'm going to share this with you. I'm going to get the scriptures. I don't have them now. One scripture is in, I think, Genesis 12, 1 and 2, talks about the blessings of Abraham. The blessing. See, there's a difference between the blessing and a blessing. I heard, who was his name? What was the brother's name that was talking about that? Winston? What was his name?
Mm-hmm.
The minister, Pastor Peaches.
You're talking about what?
The blessing and the blessings. Winston.
Oh.
I forgot his first name. Winston. But anyway, there's a difference, and I realize that the blessing is different from blessings. Blessings like you bless, you're blessed. You got healed, okay, great. That's blessings, and you got the car, got a house, got a new job. You got a check in the mail. Those are blessings.
Mm-hmm.
But the blessing is different. Ooh. The way he broke it down, boy, I'm going to have to listen to him again so I can really get it. But the way he broke it down, the blessing is like the blessing. It's empowered to prosper. You are empowered to prosper. In other words, everything your hands touch turns to gold. You got the mighty touch, the blessing. And that's what the Abrahamic covenant blessing. And Genesis 12, 1 and 2, or Genesis 12 and 2, I think it's 1 and 2, the blessing. The blessing covered everything. Empowered to prosper. That's what that means. Blessings are little individual blessings, but the blessing is like the blessing that Isaac put on Jacob. The blessing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But anyway, I will leave that alone. We're going to teach about that one day. I just have to get a full understanding of all of that. But that is so interesting. The blessing and blessings, two different things. Awesome. Hallelujah. Any more questions about the Roman road and how to approach somebody to share God's word? Okay, let me just add this. If you show concern others, for instance, because how's your mama doing? How's your brother? How's your father doing? How's your sister doing? How's your children doing? You know, show some concern, love and care. Mm-hmm. You may hear that somebody's openings that will allow you to share Christ with somebody. Someone talks about, my brother's in the hospital. Oh, you sorry to hear that. I know a doctor that really does a great job. And they say, oh, yeah, yes, indeed. You know, he's never lost a patient. And it seems like he has the answers to every situation. Oh, my goodness. Do you have his telephone number or where his office is? Yes, I do. Hallelujah. His office is wherever you are. And his telephone number is 1-800-GLORY. Oh, what a glory to God. Hallelujah. And you just call him anytime. And he's never busy. No, you never get a busy signal. And there are going to be opportunities for you to share and to show your compassion, your love, the love of Christ. That's why you hear me saying so much. I know some of y'all probably get tired. Why do you keep saying, I love you, and God loves you, ain't nothing you can do about it? But that's true. Look here. You can go, look, God will love you all the way to hell if that's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
He'll still love you. You can go to the utmost parts of the world. You can go to the deepest part. You can go to outer space, where, and you still can't get away from God's love. Same here, you can't get away from my love. I'm going to love you no matter what. You treat me like a dog and stuff like that, and you think I should hate you? No, I'm going to love you. Now, I may have to love you with the love of the Lord, but I love you.
Amen to that.
Hallelujah. Amen. But I'm going to love you because the Bible says we owe no man but to. Y'all got to act like y'all in Bible study. Y'all know something, my brother. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That's what the word says. And look, every now and then, y'all get your little smartphone and say, smartphone, where is such and such a scripture? And they come up, your smartphone will come up with some options. And you check out the options. They probably come up with some website, and you tap on the website, and the web page will come up, and you go ahead and read. Because it's good to do a little investigating. Where is this in the Bible? Where is that in the Bible? Because if you find the addresses, you'll be able to take somebody there.
Amen.
The worst thing to ever do is try to quote some scripture to somebody and say, well, where is that in the Bible? Well, I don't know, but I know it's in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that people say is in the Bible, ain't in the Bible. And the famous one is that if you make one step, he'll make two. That ain't in the Bible. That ain't in the Bible. Stradivarius for the tower. That's not in the Bible. There may be some kind of form of that, but that ain't in the Bible. People got to understand it's important. If you're a Bible student, know the address. And I love to say the address because it nails it on the head. The address is where it's found. Anyway, any questions? Any questions?
Some people want to argue. When you're trying to tell them the word of God or want to witness to them, they want to argue with you.
And you know what you say?
How do you turn off an argument? How do you shut down an argument?
Oh,
that's an awesome question.
Thank you. Good question. Thank you for sharing. I perceive that you have a difference of opinion, and it's okay to have a difference of opinion. So I just want to thank you for listening to what I shared with you already. But I want to leave you with one thing before I leave you. Jesus is Lord, and you can get your step in. Because, you know, you don't want to argue with somebody unless they want to say something about what's in the Bible. And then you just say, excuse me, sir. Excuse me, man. And you do it softly. And you do it really soft so they've almost got to stop to hear what you're saying. And you say, excuse me, but where is that found? What's the address? Where is that found in the Bible? Oh, they may be saying, well, I'm a Muslim, and I don't believe in that Jesus stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, well, thank you for sharing. But guess what? Jesus believes in you.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get mad, you get glad, because they're going to open themselves up for you to share some good news. Jesus loves you. No matter what you say. Jesus cares about you no matter what you say. And I'm glad you shared what you said because now I know what to pray for. Well, I'm a Muslim. Well, I'm going to tell you, and I've done this several times. I hear what you're saying, but I want you to do one thing, and don't be afraid to do it. You ask God, say, God, show me yours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord have mercy. And folk are good. Next time you see him, they're going to say, oh, I got saved. I'm a Holy Ghost filled, don't talk to fire baptized. Because God woke me up in the middle of the night. And I looked over and I saw a 10-foot angel with a flaming sword. And I decided to follow Jesus.
Yeah. Praise him.
So you don't argue with nobody about the word.
Pastor Bear, I have a question.
Yes.
What if I ask, some people I know, I'll be telling about the Lord and trying to get them to come, and then they be like, they talk about God and they still curse. What's that mean?
Are they still cursing?
Yeah, they still saying the F, the D words.
Oh,
I the Lord for so-and-so. But they still curse. I mean, what type of person is that, and what does that mean?
Okay, that is a person who may be still in their sin, or they just in a habit of using that language, and they haven't broke themselves out of that. And so you have to pray for them to be released from that cursing a demon, because that's a demon. That's a demon, yes. that is obsessing them, possessing them, or oppressing them. and they flow with stuff. And some things are habit. There's a negative habit that people have. They curse like a sailor. One woman went into a bar full of sailors, and she cursed so bad that the sailors ran out the bar. You know, because sailors curse a whole lot. But, you know, when the sailors started running out the bar, you know that person was really a cursing. But you have to somehow. It's hard to do sometimes. You hear what they're saying?
Yeah.
But you got to say, Lord Jesus, the blood of Jesus prevail. The blood of Jesus prevail. God loves you no matter what, brother, or no matter what, sister. And you can say whatever you want to say, but Jesus still is Lord. And I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. You have a blessing in the Lord. And you go about your business. But you don't be like...
I have a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend I've been known since I was, like, born in middle school. And she was in the church. She was, like, an usher. But now she says she don't do church anymore. Now she's back out there in that world. And now she cursed like a storm. She got a boyfriend that she not even married, and they having, you know, sex before marriage. And they don't live together. At first they did, but he told her to get her own place. What she did, she got a young child. She got three kids, but other two are grown, and she got one young. You know, she was married twice, got divorced twice. But I've been knowing her since I was going to middle school. We grew up together, and I'm trying to get her to get back in the church because she says she don't deal with church anymore. And she just curses like a storm. You know, she smoked weed and everything. And then another person I know, she curses like a fish, and she drinks a lot of beer. And I invite her to my church one Sunday, and she said she couldn't go, but she had something to do. But I think some people are trying to make excuses and trying to keep themselves going. You know, when I'm trying to get people to come, they don't want to come. So those kind of people, I need to pray for them.
Yeah, well, you pray for them, but sometimes you have to do it the way Christ would do it. And what Christ, well, sometimes, all the time you do it, Christ would. He wants to know the person. What's hurting you? Why are you cursing so much? Or why are you doing it? And why don't you do church anymore? And listen to them. Just don't talk at them or talk to them. But sometimes you got to listen to them. And that's one thing that God. See, God works on me about it. You know, because my wife is a tremendous person. She helps me with that because she said, sometimes we're someplace and sometimes she taps me on the leg or something. In other words, to keep quiet or whatever. But sometimes we have to listen to folks. And then when they have talked out a little bit and they leave your space, you say, they say, I don't teach church anymore. You ask them why. I'm going to tell you, most people that don't do church, they got hurt in the church. Or they saw a hypocrite. But that's where, when you go to the hospital, you see sick people. Where are the sick people supposed to be? In the hospital, right? You expect to see sick people in a hospital. Well, you go to church, you expect to see some hypocrites, some liars, some cheats, some ex-murderers. Hopefully they're not still doing the murder thing. Stealing, a liar, cheat, rapists, all kinds of folks. You're going to see a consensus. They're sick. They need a spiritual hospital. That's the church. So, but what you do, you got to show compassion for the person and for their family. You might say, "Oh, let's change the subject. How are your children doing? How old is your child? What grade are they in?" Begin to find common ground to talk about stuff. I don't believe that a woman could curse and talk about their 4-year-old child at the same time. They may be able to do that, but I can't see it. Maybe I might have been sheltered. But you understand what I'm saying? Get them talking about their family. How's your mama doing? I haven't seen your mother in a long time. How's she doing? Oh, she passed away from you. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. How about your father? Oh, you have any siblings? You know, in other words, try to get into who they are, and
mm-hmm.
you'll see a bigger picture of what's going on.
Right.
And then you may get to a point where you can say, well, tell me something. Why don't you do church anymore? And just keep quiet and listen. And listen.
Mm-hmm.
And listen. Because
mm-hmm.
they're going to tell you a whole bunch of stuff.
Right.
And you can say, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But they said some people say that, some people I've been hearing, you know, say that church people is not real. They're phony. They hypocrites too. They, you know, I've been hearing a lot of stuff about Christian people, but I don't think that's true. But
well, see, everywhere you go, you got phony baloney police, you got phony baloney politicians. That does not mean
mm-hmm.
that all of them are that way. You got phony
right.
baloney firemen. You got phony baloney teachers. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You got phony baloney
yeah.
trash collectors. You got phony baloney whatever in any industry, in any career, in any occupation. You have truth. You got good, bad, and ugly.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
you know, I understand what you're saying. But you know what? God loves you no matter what. And I know
yeah.
you may be doing such and such and such and such. But God is not judging you. You know what he wants to do? He wants
mm-hmm.
to love you. He just
mm-hmm.
wants you to let him love you. And you talk softly and you talk slowly.
Mm-hmm.
You will find out that they will start doing it a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times when we want to go witness, and I guess I was guilty of that in the past, is that we
mm-hmm.
kind of rush and say everything, and we
right.
don't get a chance to respond to what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But see, we need to start not at the bottom line. We don't need to start at the top of the ladder. We have to start at the bottom and work our
mm-hmm.
way up to that. So we start with
mm-hmm.
their family. We start with their career. What are you doing? Are you still working?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How you doing? Are you retired? Oh, when did you retire? You understand what I'm saying? Establish a relationship aside from what you want to do, because what you want to do is get them back in a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
But that's your ultimate. But you got pray for God's wisdom, and what you can do is you're going to see some of these old friends and stuff. You pray God before you go see him. You say, Lord, give me what to say, when to say it, how to say it, and let
mm-hmm.
me know if I should say it. Hallelujah. Because sometimes God will just send you someplace so you can listen to somebody,
mm-hmm.
and you be a listening ear. And then when you get to say, thank you for sharing what you shared, I really feel honored that you would share all of that to me, with me. And when you get back home or wherever you can, you know what to pray for, because they done shared, they done turned out the dirty laundry and the clean laundry and everything in between. Pastor
mm-hmm.
Peter, do you have anything to say on that?
Mm-mm. Praise God.
Yeah, Sister Pearson, I wanted
yes.
to say something in addressing
yes.
the phony people in the church and things that she's hearing, which is true. But what we have to look at is the level that you're on and where you are in God. So when the spiritual attacks take place, that if you are not focused, you can become consumed and you can become out of order. You can become that Christian who is the fake Christian, that Christian that has prayed for God to save them and take the cursing out
mm-hmm.
of their mouth. But when you're in spiritual warfare, those things the devil uses to bring back to you
mm-hmm.
because inside of us is the strong man which needs to be bound. And therefore, as Christians, we are every day set up for the slaughter. And the devil knows. He knows where you are, where you came from. He knows things about you, but God has all power and all knowing. So, yeah, the Christian may slip, may fall, may curse, be called from you. But in spiritual warfare, it's warfare, and it's for your very soul, and it will bring out all the things that the devil wants to throw at you to kill you. You got to understand it's warfare, and it depends on what level you're on as a Christian or as that witness or the evangelist, because this is what's going on. Christians are fighting for their very life. We are fighting for our lives. So we, God is on our side, and the angels and the word of God we stand on. But the Bible even speaks, or let's say a song says, when you stand and, or when you're back and forth, he says stand. And all you can do, stand, because it's coming. It's coming for you. It's coming for you. Because who the devil don't want the unsaved. He wants more so the saved. That's the one he wants to shut you down, to shut your mouth, to kill and destroy you. So you will not be a witness. Your life will be smeared. Your neighbors will hear the things that's going on in your house. They will see your life before them. So that's what it's about. It's to tear you down so that you are not looking worthy to even be a light into a darkness in a dark community. Like, how are they going to tell me about this and how are they going to tell me about that? And look at their life. Look at their family. That's what the devil does. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy in any way that he can. Anyone hears the bird, he's right there with you or your neighbor. So we got to realize what it is. It's spiritual warfare. We can witness to others, but in the church, I'm talking about the church itself, we have all kinds of people in the church. You know, we have all kinds.
All kinds.
So people are going to speak, you know, who wants the victory? The devil wants the victory. The devil wants the victory.
You know,
people start from the pulpit to the back door. The pulpit to the back door.
Yes.
And start sweeping.
Yep.
And if you get us, who's going to be a witness?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to witness who Jesus is? We're the light, the salt of the earth.
Amen.
So we're fighting for our lives. We're trying to live a life, but in the same time, we're fighting spiritual warfare in the same breath. I don't care how quiet we try to be, how you try. It's down in us. Some stuff they say, take it to the lake of fire and let it stay there. No, some of that stuff is still up in us, and it don't take much for it to come out. And the devil already knows that too, because the devil is a liar. So it's a test.
It's
a test. It's spiritual warfare. All of us are sinning, come short of the glory of God.
Hallelujah. That's what
the devil knows. The devil knows what's in your vineyard too. He don't know all, but he knows what you've been delivered from. So you take that and wrap it right around your mouth and your neck. So, you know, when you've lived and walked that walk with God a long time, you done been through some stuff. So you can tell that story. And that's we're supposed to be the light. So when we witness to others, we can tell our story. Hey, I've been there, done that. And look at me. Look how God has delivered me. Leave the phone number. Call me. You know, leave a track. Put your number on it. You know, and call them. Hi, how you doing? You know, and they will receive that. If they don't have a phone, God will put who he wants in your path for you to witness to. You don't have to look for him. God's going to bring. Sometimes we have to pay attention. Like you said, the angels we entertain unaware. Yeah, we got to pay attention to what's around us. You think that that's a homeless person or a bum. God is looking to see what you're going to do when you get in front of that person. Are you going to witness to them? Are you going to give them something out of your bag that somebody's got a trunk full of food, did not give them, said no, but you took your little bit and you gave to that person? God looking at everything we're doing.
Yep.
So that's witnessing.
Thank you so much.
I'm sorry. I mean to talk so long.
No, That's all right.
Speaking the truth.
Hallelujah. Thank God.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
It's important for us to understand.
Hallelujah.
the fruit of the Spirit is so important because we have to have that in our DNA. And the Bible says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And that is Galatians 5:22 and 23. That's the mind of Christ. So you have to control. Because the enemy, the enemy will know that you, of course, what true born-again Christian loves profanity? Nobody
want to derail
your witnessing by having that come up in that person's mouth, but don't let it faze you. Keep thinking, talking about the goodness of the Lord, and it's hard because he want to derail you. He don't want you to tell him about the saving grace of God. That God, while we were yet sinners, Christ died. He don't want you to say that. He don't want you to say Jesus is Lord. He don't want you to do any say any of that. But that's why you got to do it like Christ. What he did, you know, he tried to establish a relationship with the folks and say, look here, they say something, you say, why do you say you're not going to do church? Oh, okay. Well, you know, I thank you for sharing that. You want to have something that you can hook on your prayer that you can pray for them later on. And to think about it, when you begin to flow in this way, when you don't let your emotion, because sometimes it's almost like somebody talking about your mama or your mama jokes. You're ready to fight. Jesus says that's doing a different way. He says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I'm going to repay. So they got to be careful what they say, even about Jesus. Oh, glory to God. So they're going to try to get you off track. But you say, look here, Jesus died for me. Sometimes you got to put, he died for me. I used to do this, that, and the other, but God saved me from that. And say, look here, I know you've been going through stuff, you know, because we all go through stuff. But guess what? God can take you through. And I know you're troubled. I know you got children and this, that, and that. And by the way, how old are your children, you know? And begin to kind of get a little into the little garden a little bit. And then show the love, the joy, the strong suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, and the faith, and the meekness and temperance of God. Don't let them rile you, because the devil's going to try to rile you. But as the evangelist said, you know, the enemy comes, he's as a roaring lion, hallelujah, praise be to God, seeking whom he may devour, but he comes to steal from the sword, hallelujah, glory to God. John 10:10, but Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And you can share some scriptures and attach it to their life and what's going on and show them the light. And if they don't accept it right then and there, that's okay. You can continue to pray. You want them to accept it right away, but you continue to pray for them. And you give them the word and you leave them, okay, I just want to let you know. All that you're doing and all that you said, I understand that you said that. And I thank you for sharing. I just want to let you know that Jesus is Lord. The more peace, see, the peace is important. Because folks, a lot of times I've seen people come up to folks that want to witness. And it's like they're angry at somebody. Angry. You want to be angry at the devil? Well, you angry at the devil. That person's not the devil. As the evangelist said, you know, in Ephesians 6:10-18, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spiritual wickedness, and the demon forces. That's who we wrestle against. And these folk are just in their earth suit. So we're wrestling against the demon forces, and that's why we got to be prayed up. That's why we got to put on our whole armor Every day. Don't leave it off. We don't want to be a spiritual streaker. We got to put on our armor every day. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So praise God. God bless you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Pastor Peace, do you have anything to say? Anybody else?
Well, God bless everybody. And precious to read the Roman Road scriptures until we get it down pat and memorized. And we know, and even maybe want to put a ribbon or a little bookmarker in your Bible so that you'll have it, you'll know where it is when you pass witness to somebody or whether, I don't mean, you know, toting the Bible on your arm, walking up down the street, but if that's what the Lord leads you to do, then that's what you do. But when you're talking to somebody and you need those scriptures, you'll have a bookmark in your mind, you can flip right to it.
All right.
And even know them by heart. I even saw, and I wish I picked it up, when we went to the school supply giveaway a couple of Saturdays ago before school started, there was a track, pamphlet, and it said the Roman Road, and I should have picked them up.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to call tomorrow to see if I can get, because this company sends us 1,000 tracks. I'm going to see if they have one that says the Roman Road, because that would be good. Thank you. Pastor Peaches, you have any more to say?
No, that's all, Pastor.
Okay, because I want to share this about the new class that's starting on the 4th of October. Get your those that want to be in that class, make sure you start the process of registering now, so that by the time the class begins, you would have completely registered. And we have more people registering. Well, I know we had some people register today, so we want to encourage all of you who aren't registered. It's going to be a tremendous course. We're having three classes, and
it's limited.
Yes, it's limited. So we don't want to go over a certain number, because we're going to have to have everyone be able to share. And if we have 50 people, we won't have time to do the class. So we have to. It's going to be a cutoff. But so those that want to register, you need to call Pastor Peaches and give her. Tell her your intent to register for the course, and she'll give you the ins and buts about it. And her number is 443. Pastor, you can give your own number. Go ahead.
Do I have to?
Okay, well, I'll give it.
443-416-1201.
443-416-1201. And we thank you, Pastor Peaches. Oh, you're so sweet. I appreciate that. And we thank all of you that are on this call today. We thank you so much. And we look forward to y'all being in the service on Sunday. But tomorrow night, y'all going to hear something that you never heard before for a preacher to actually say tomorrow night. Y'all got to tune in to that 515 number, y'all. And I'm going to tell you, y'all will hear something you never heard before. I'm excited, too, because I want to hear that myself. But anyway, somebody, one person laughed. Hallelujah. Glory.
Be praying for AJ. She's not feeling well.
Oh, in the name of Jesus. But it's in the Lord's name. But it's in the Lord's name. Father, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we send your word to heal right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Psalms 107, verse 20. We send your word to heal right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalms 107, verse 20. We send your word to heal right now. Touch it from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Inside and outside and in Jesus' name. We send the word to hallelujah, mother, Dolores Harris's body, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that you're right now, God. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's just your word says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and help. Help people that so prosper. 3 John 1 and 2. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Matthew 8:6-10 and Matthew 8:13. Hallelujah. We send your word to heal today in Jesus' name. God bless all of you on Bible study today again. Next Tuesday, same time, same station, we'll be with Bible study. Hallelujah. Again, it's good to register for the course, or at least call Pastor Peaches and give your start the process going. Give her your intent to register, so we can know the Savior slot or not Savior slot or whatever. So praise God. God bless you real good. Love you all, and there ain't
love
nothing
you,
to do about it.
Amen.
All right. God bless.
Amen.
Love you now. Bye-bye.
All right. Love you too.
All right. Love you more. I'll see you.